social workers loved that episode, so we invited them to ask you a few questions. So I have about five of them for you, if you don't mind.
Great. I hope I can answer them. Oh, and just so you know, my last name is Toscano. It's not Toscana.
Yeah, I saw that, and I went on to IMDb, and I got it the right way.
Okay, great.
I also have a few of our social workers here with me listening in, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Becky?
Okay. I'm Becky Al-Akus. I'm Senior Practice Associate with Professional Development.
Hi.
And we have one more here.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Chambers.
Hi, how are you?
I also work in the Professional Development Division. Prior to that, I was a public child welfare worker, protective service investigator, supervisor, and eventually program director.
Great.
A small city in Pennsylvania.
Wow, great.
Our first question is from social worker Matt Anderson. He wants to know, how can you write such a serious episode but also make it entertaining for the audience?
I wouldn't say it was so much as difficult as I placed a great deal of importance on making sure to try to balance that issue. It is a controversial issue, especially the way that it was portrayed in our episode, and we wanted to make sure that as we were sort of going through it and putting it together, that we made sure that we were portraying both sides of an issue, and actually more than both sides of the issue, because there were a couple different ways that you could go. You know, we wanted to make sure that the you know, that there were children that are in bad situations, that are in the foster care system, but that we also wanted to hang a lantern on the fact that, you know, the other way to go, which is this Children's Underground Network, that has no system of checks and balances. So we were careful to try to portray both sides of the issues, one through the eyes of the prosecutor who voiced her concerns about that kind of issues, and then ultimately the other one through the eyes of Detective Fitch, who ultimately ends up giving this child away at the end. But we wanted to make sure that through the character of Eva Gibbons, we sort of, whose character, who is a social worker and whose character is ultimately heroic in the end, was portraying, you know, an aspect of the foster care system, while still sort of still realizing that her hands were tied. And I feel like I'm being inarticulate here, but
no, you're not.
It was just one of those things where it wasn't necessarily difficult, but it was very important to us to make sure that we were doing it in such a way that that sort of said every side of the issue, and then we ultimately went with, you know, Fitch giving this child away in the end because this one child had slipped through the cracks of the system. It wasn't a blanket statement about the system, because I fostered a child who was 12 years old out of the foster care system in Los Angeles, and ultimately adopted him, and when he was 12, and so I was, you know, just sort of very careful, and I've been through a lot of different aspects of the system and seen a lot of different cases through various friends and through his, you know, and through my son's case and all of that. So we were just sort of, we wanted to get all of that out there.
Our second question is from social worker Amy Lechner. She wanted to ask you, if you want to show an episode that tries to make the foster care system better, why show social workers doing something illegal?
Well, the reason why we did that was because in this specific case, we had this child that was represented by this character of Finley, a child who had many, many advocates, you know, who had her aunt advocating on her behalf and who had been in the system, obviously, through no fault of her own and had continually been placed in jeopardizing situations. And the Children's Underground Network was something that we had, which I believe, and I may be wrong about this, but from research that we did on the episode, this Children's Underground Network is something that actually exists. And basically, what we wanted to do was to portray like a system of individuals that got together that were frustrated by the sort of the limitations of the system and find a way to create a system of their own because their hands were tied in certain situations. So I'm not sure if I answered that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Nikki, this is Stephanie Chambers. I just wanted, when Greg came to me yesterday, I had not seen the show, the episode, but I immediately went and looked on the Facebook, and then he said he was having this call today, and you know, because a lot of people had questions about how this is so over the top and clearly just done for dramatization and makes us look like a bunch of firebrands. And I'm like, well, actually, that happens. And if you worked in child welfare, you would know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, this is the thing. I wasn't, you know, in the case of this episode, which was obviously it was like characterized a certain way through the eyes of like one case. You know what I mean? And
obviously.
clearly that there's lots of people that the system does work for, like my son. You know what I mean? And then there were other you know, other times where I've seen children, friends of my son who was in a children's home, who have gone and been put in different foster care situations that have been potentially dangerous, and you know, kids that have emancipated themselves because as a result of that. And I by no means, the social workers that I have worked with and have in my experience have been all wonderfully caring, you know, overworked and underpaid people who, you know, who really, like, my hats are off to them, because I think that's a job that's overlooked, and I just believe that these people are absolute saints. I also believe that we had read through a number of articles about different, the thing that was sort of pointed our hat towards doing this episode was just a couple of articles that we had read recently where certain children, which I think are, you know, the exceptions to the rule of what social work and foster care is aimed to do, had fallen through the cracks and had either committed suicide or had been killed or hurt in some kind of way. And so we were trying to portray like all sides of the issues without actually, you know, without you know, being insensitive to the plight of this social worker. And Eva Gibbons, you know, the character is a woman who has, you know, ultimately wants to do what's best for every kid in that system. But ultimately, in this story, as the way it's characterized, her hands are tied and decides to do this ultimately heroic thing at the end that's going to benefit this child.
Yeah. Another question is from Alinda Bruce, or Bruss, B-R-U-S-S. She wants to, like, ask you if you use social workers as a consultant on this one episode. I mean, obviously you've already, you know, worked with them in your own, like, life, personal life, but on this one episode, were any used?
I used in this episode, I used my own experience and some research that I had done via internet, but I had not contacted a specific social worker that was like consulting us on this issue for the sole reason that we were telling a story that ultimately needed to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, you know, there may or may not be some truth portrayed in our sort of portrayal of social work and the foster care system, but for the purposes of this episode, you know, the underlying thing was we did research. I used my own experience, and ultimately we were trying to come up with a story that was compelling and entertaining and put our characters in a position to do something ultimately heroic at the end that may not have coincided with what's with the law.
Our last question is from Maxine Tome, who is the executive director of NASW Michigan. First of all, she wanted you to know that she really loved this episode. Her question, though, is what are the changes that you hope to come about in the foster care system as a result of this episode?
I think that this episode was meant to represent one case, one specific case of a child who had fallen through the cracks. And I believe that in the interest, I think that the social worker in this episode ultimately did a heroic thing at the end. But like I said, as seen through the eyes of the prosecutor who is raising objections to this Children's Underground Network, a system like that obviously lacks checks and balances. The one thing that limits our foster care system is the thing that enables this to exist. But the problem is, with no checks and balances, you can inevitably get into situations where children may or may not be put in more jeopardy than if they were just, going through the course of the system, and we recognize that.
Okay. Now, there's also a question here from Maxine Tome. She is a president of NASW Michigan.
Okay.
And she really loved it. She loved the episode. She was just overjoyed with it. And she really liked the ending of it. And it was very affecting for her. And she was wondering, based on a comment made at the end by the social worker, what kind of changes would you like as a writer in the system? That's what she wanted to ask.
I'm not sure I understand the question completely. Because as a writer, what kind of changes would I like to see exhibited in the system?
Yeah,
world. I think I'd like to see a system where social workers, these people who are caring after the youth of our society, were more to go around, and they were paid better, and that they had an opportunity to have many resources at their disposal, and many people to be helping them out, so that there aren't limitations in the system, so there aren't children that are ultimately falling through the cracks. I think that like it's portrayed in this character Eva Gibbons, she's a woman who has dedicated her entire life towards helping children, and yet at the end of the day is limited because there's not enough people to go around. And I guess if my hope would be that there would be more social workers, so more things could be delegated to more people, and children didn't slip through the cracks.
Now, a question from me is, the ending was kind of an open one, and I was wondering if you plan another storyline like this based on this existing episode.
I never say never. It probably won't happen in the first season. Since I'm not the showrunner, I probably can't entertain a guess on that. But I believe that if we were going on for many seasons, I'm sure adoption and foster care would come up at some point. And I think that what people can probably count on seeing is Fitch at some point having to possibly answer for what he did in episode 6.
Exactly.
I don't foresee another opportunity where we would be having Eva Gibbons come back, but I can't, I really can't make that decision because our showrunners and executive producers have an idea for where the season is going and what kind of stories we're going to tell and what issues we intend on, tackling.
If social workers wrote in, though, would that have an impact on this?
Would they have an impact on whether or not social work was portrayed again on the show?
Yes.
I have, you know what, I couldn't possibly answer that. I'm not sure. I think that what we try to do is to tell stories in a given season that are, you know, that are very different or all across the board. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we're a homicide show. So, you know, there may very well be an opportunity that examines social work or in the future, but I don't know if that'll be happening within the context of the season, because a lot of the stories that are, you know, are crime driven, and I'm not sure if there's going to be another opportunity, especially because this episode resonated the way that it did, and was a very, from what I understand, powerful way to tell this side of the story. So I'm not sure, but there may very well be many opportunities in the future. I don't know what the future of the show holds. So perhaps if we get a season two, you know, it'll come back up again, you know.
Well, if you needed experts, I have them here for you. Plenty of them. Vocal ones too.
Great. Well, that's awesome. You know, I it's like, you know, there's, you know, we do a lot of research within the confines of our writer's room. We have a research assistant who looks into a lot of issues for us, and like I said, like for this issue, I used my own experience in foster care and speaking with different social workers that I had spoken with through the years and having a lot of sort of experience in that realm. So I used some of my experience, and then ultimately we were telling, you know, a fictional story for entertainment value. So I was hoping to portray this issue by examining both sides of it, and then ultimately in this one case, which Eva Gibbons says, you know, this is like it's one child that slipped through the cracks, and they sort of came together and ultimately did this heroic thing in the interest of one child. But I realized that there's a lot of, you know, at least all of the social workers that I've been in contact with over, you know, over the years in my experience have been fantastic and have been, you know, out, you know, just selflessly helping these children day in and day out, way, way beyond the time where it is that they clock out.
Yeah. How old is he now, your son?
20.
Wow. You don't even sound that old to me.
I'm not that old. It was I fostered him when I was I fostered him when I was 26. So, So it was crazy. It was a very my husband had been acting as a like a big brother, like special friend to him, and then he had intended on fostering him, and then when we got together, we fostered him together, and then we ultimately adopted him, and
great.
Yeah, so, and he's great. He's a fantastic kid. And I've had, you know, I've had a great experience, like my personal experience with all the different social workers that I've worked with and who have been out for my son, because my husband's twin brother adopted my son's brother as well. So we've had a lot of people that we've had to deal with over the years. So,
mm-hmm. Well, any more questions, ladies, from this end?
No, this is Becky, and I would just like to say that I think this particular episode really did do a good job of grappling with strengths and challenges within the field of social work, and really looking at the fact that there are ethical dilemmas across all of the helping professions. So you saw that among the social workers, and you saw that among the legal folks in the episode. And I think that is real life. Even though this is a fictional story and it has some, you know, kind of piles a lot of things into this one story, those things are happening day in and day out for each individual worker and for departments and for administrators as well as frontline workers. So I think it did a good job in showing.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I can't tell you how much that means to me, and I'm glad that it resonated with you, because that's ultimately what we were hoping to do, is to, you know, tell an emotionally compelling and powerful story about the fate of one child, essentially.
This is Stephanie. There's one thing that I found kind of incredible, and you see social workers on cop and hospital shows all the time. Usually they're the bleeding hearts or the ones you call to like take care of a mess while you're pick up the kids while I'm picking up a perpetrator. I think it was very valuable to, you know, when you talk about shining a light on things, obviously this is entertainment, but it does open up dialogue. And showing the relationship between law enforcement and social work in a mutually respectful way, and in a way, and as I was watching it, I was also working on an outline for a training we're doing here. And it was a classic case of when conscience trumps authority, and what's the right thing to do, and how do we determine that? So I really think you did an outstanding job for being a not social worker. So clearly, you've been fortunate to have the good ones around you. But yeah, I'm gonna say, you know, do it again, please.
Oh, well, thank you.
Homeless youths who get murdered and no one even knows.
You what?
I said there are, you know, it's a murder show, it's a homicide show, and there's all kinds of homeless young people.
Yeah.
Who didn't have an underground and escaped their own foster care systems. So there's lots of opportunities, and if you're ever scratching for ideas, give us a call.
Absolutely, and I really, really appreciate your time, and I hope that I answered your questions,
yes.
At least on some level. I think it's a great issue, and, you know, I think that as I move from show to show, because inevitably this show may not be around forever, we hope it does, but if it doesn't, you know, there'll be a lot of other opportunities to sort of tackle this thing, and it's good to know that we have this resource, and I'll be sure to pass it on to other writers as well.
I'll send you an email, okay?
Great.
And it was nice. I thank you, really, for your time, and also ABC as well. And I will keep in touch with you. Thank you so much.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
Our pleasure, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.